Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He gets a good jump on the ball. No false step. Arm under. Get the tackle. Lean it out. The club. Get back inside. Takes down Tannehill. It's been pretty. But it's a lot more than just rushing the passer. It's about knowing what to do. So that he can play as fast as he plays. Fullback coming at him right here. No shot. Like a matador in a bull ring. Taking Jeremy McNichols down. Like a bull right there. He leads the NFL through two preseason games in just effort. People call it a motor. But it's more than a motor. Because he knows where the hell he's going. The most appropriate named player in the NFL is Chase Winovich. Because all he does is chase everything down.
That was Brian, was it Baldinger from the NFL Network? Yeah.
Baldy.
Down.
The Matador.
Dude.
Look at him.
Leading the league in two games in effort.
Gets a tackle. Lean that out.
And then he's up and under.
Jeez. I didn't know.
Is that a stat? Do they have a stat in effort?
Leading the league
in effort? And who's in charge of, you know, figuring out who's actually trying and who isn't?
Beats the NFL through two preseason games in just effort.
Just effort, leading the league in effort.
I tell you what, Winovich. That's the one thing that
people love Chase Winovich, huh?
They love him. They love him. And to me, okay, so you're seeing a lot of these young guys go to the podium, and they all say the same thing. They make sure to give credit to the coaches. They don't take any of those accolades or nothing. They always deflect. It's not me. If I didn't have him, I couldn't be here. Chase is a little bit different. It's like he's got a personality. And he's force-feeding it down our throats. And I kind of almost wish, like, they wouldn't let the rookies talk at all.
You know, honestly, today was like a day like any other. Ever since high school, my grandma has been promising me if I've played hard and I didn't get hurt, she's been promising me $5 and a chocolate bar, either Hershey's or Sarah's Candies. So today was just another day where I just went out there and I said, you know what, I got to play hard. I need that $5 and I need that, the candy. So, exactly. I know I joke, but at the end of the day, I know I got a lot of support and a lot of people that believe in me. And I feel like I'm representative of, you know, a whole Pittsburgh area in a sense. And there's a lot of pride that comes with it. But like I said, you know, last week, it all goes back to my teammates and the hard work that we put in.
So now he said, like, you know, as long as they play hard and don't get hurt. So if he plays hard and gets hurt, grandma doesn't give him a candy bar.
Well, would the grandma
say,
can't
get the $5?
Would the grandma say, in hindsight, it was my fault for offering you that candy bar and that $5? You shouldn't have gotten
hurt
in the first place.
Well, you played really hard, Chase, but you end up getting hurt.
Yeah, so you don't get no candy.
Because you're soft, so I'm not going to give you $5 and a candy bar. Be tougher.
Hey, and there's a slight chance of a tornado.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Don't get hurt.
That's his grandma. I was going to give you $10.
And I was planning on getting me some sausage.
But you got hurt.
But we
because you're weak.
We
that's
joke.
From your daddy's side.
But it is nice for
when
a couple
I was
years.
Coming out of the bathroom,
tornado. For like a couple years to actually be talking about young linebackers, right? Juwan Bentley, Chase Winovich.
I think it's a little.
DNs, whatever you want to call them.
I mean, we're talking about it because there's nobody else playing. Jamie Collins not
playing.
But you
keep poo-pooing it.
I am because, you know, I'm not going to get caught up in a glorified.
But you can see this guy doing
this
nothing.
This is basically the Poulin Weedier Bowl is what you're looking at. That's what these preseason games are. I'd rather have nothing but inter-squad or practice against other teams. Joint practices is the wave of the future. You don't need any of these stupid preseason games. And if you do, you know, let's scrub. I shouldn't say scrubs because they've earned it. Let the younger players playing those games.
Well, you heard Bill talking about, you know, 90 guys got to evaluate him, so he's playing all the kids. So with that, you know, you poo-poo these performances. What about the quarterback situation?
What about it?
Well, I mean, Brian Hoyer's gone out there. Very impressive week one. You know, last game there. I know
threw
he didn't.
Threw a pick Saturday.
Yeah, threw a pick. Eight, so what, 6 for 8? What about Stidham? Jared Stidham.
He got away with one.
He got away with a few.
That one, there was, if the linebacker had any hands whatsoever, first of all, he'd be playing offense. But since he can't catch, that interception, first of all, it should have been an interception, and it should have went 98 yards the other way. But he dropped it. So he got away with one, ends up scoring a touchdown anyways. So what's your issue with the quarterback situation?
Well, my question
I've heard
is
a lot,
this.
My I've heard
question
a lot
is
about
this. I was looking
guys.
At my man Phil Perry over there.
Your
Boston.
Guy.
Yeah, NBC Sports Boston. And, you know, it's that time of year, right? I think we're on maybe the 50-man roster, 53-man roster projection 5-6. Is that where everyone's pretty much at?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Anyways, he has two quarterbacks. Tom Brady, Jared Stidham. No Brian Hoyer. Talks about how Jimmy Garoppolo's first year. Remember Ryan Mallett? The Mayock quote about him popping? Next thing you know, he's gone.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
And Bill sticks with Jimmy Garoppolo, who we took in the draft. Year one, coming in right away, backing up Tom Brady. Is that what we see here? You know, because it always affects the roster spot. You know, Dontrell Inman saw Josh Gordon, you know, be reinstated and said, you know what, I want out. Okay, so because at the wide receiving position, he didn't like the way it looked. But Josh Gordon could also affect other positions, right? Because maybe they like their wide receivers. Maybe they wanted, you know, I think in his projection, Phil Perry, they had six wide receivers, but one of them was Slater. Okay, and it was Myers. He had Berrios on there with Gordon, with Edelman, with Myers, with Harry, and Berrios. Well, maybe they keep seven wide receivers because of Josh Gordon. You know, maybe they look and say, well, Philip Dorsett. He didn't have Philip Dorsett in that thing. Maybe it's Philip Dorsett. Maybe it's Philip Dorsett over Berrios. But maybe because of Josh Gordon, you want to keep that extra wide receiver, and it doesn't just affect a guy like Dontrell Inman. Maybe it affects a guy like Brian Hoyer. He says, well, I'd rather have depth at wide receiver because I think this kid Stidham can back up because I want to keep two quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't know about. So here's the thing with Hoyer, and we mentioned this last week. He's got a great contract, which kind of protects him, at least from being cut. I mean, if he gets cut, he's going to get $1.5 million.
But they save $1.5.
Okay, that's fine. But by cutting him?
Yeah.
How?
That's a good question.
But no, you're talking about if they...
cap. The cap number is $3 million for 2019. That's Brian Hoyer going over the cap. This is what Phil Perry writes. He says, parting ways with Hoyer according to over the cap. We'll dock the Patriots about half of its $3 million cap number for 2019. That's something worth considering here. Now, so they would have $1.5 million cap hit.
And they'll spend it somewhere
else. They would save $1.5 million.
And they'll end up spending it eventually. Okay, my thing is, like, the only way he's... I do not think they will cut him. I do not think they will cut him. I think if anything happens, which I think is possible, based on their belief in Stidham, just like Garoppolo, is they can trade him. The amount of quarterbacks that go down on a daily basis, and the fact that Hoyer has so much experience... Was been in the league such a long period of time, has been a backup, has been a starter, has played on multiple different teams, a bunch of different offenses. The guy's a quick study. He's a good mentor. He's a leader. He's older. I mean, this guy would be great on a bunch of rosters. Guys, quarterback's going down left and right. So, yeah, I do think he would. Now, what you can get for him, I have no idea, but I don't think they'll cut him. Even if they save 1.5 under the cap, I think that's a long shot.
You would move him for whatever.
But trade him.
Yeah. But would you feel comfortable trading Brian Hoyer? We've been here before with Brady, right?
Did you feel comfortable when it's the same situation when Garoppolo was the only backup? You're like, wow, this guy went to a like Division II school, didn't even have a playbook, but year one, he's your backup. In case of this is before Jacoby Brissett was even on the roster. Because remember, at one point they had Brady, Garoppolo, and Brissett. They had those three guys, and they needed them because Brady ended up getting suspended. Garoppolo goes in.
Well, that might have been one of the reasons why that year they kept three.
Yeah, so that one was probably more of a no-brainer, right? Because you knew Garoppolo was going to play, so that was the issue.
But then
so
the following years, when Garoppolo gets traded, actually, Brissett got traded first, and we said, well, that's Garoppolo's here to stay.
Yeah.
And then he gets traded, and you get Hoyer back.
Yeah, I think there's I always feel like that's a real dangerous situation. But,
sure it is.
And then because – well, how good did you feel when Garoppolo was the backup? You were literally one bad decision away, one of someone falling into his legs away from Jared Stidham being your starting quarterback. He's your quarterback. Now, the same situation, they didn't get affected by it when Garoppolo was the backup. But to me, those are dangerous situations.
I think the question would be, you know, and everybody admitted last week that, you know, if Brady went down for a couple of games early on in the season, who would you have a better feeling for as your starter? We all agreed Hoyer, just because he's been in a huddle in the NFL, just because of his experience. It's not because we think he's great. So the question would be, okay, well, if you needed Stidham for two games, what's the difference?
Do you think who
between
is
okay, he and Hoyer for two or three games?
Each guy's had two games. They both basically have the same wide receivers. It's not like Hoyer was playing with the one wide receivers in the one offensive line, and Stidham was playing with the twos, a bunch of guys that didn't know what they were doing. They were both playing basically under the same circumstances. Who do you think's played better?
Well, I think Hoyer was outstanding in game one.
So I thought Stidham was too.
Stidham was good, yeah.
I don't think Hoyer is 10 times better than Stidham. I think the gap is very small, and based on his youth, I think he's done really, really well for a guy that's played two games in the pros. So I don't know. I guess it would have to be, how important is Hoyer? Is Hoyer so important to you based on his ability to run the scout team, which Stidham could do? Or is it worth you trading him in order to, get draft picks? Or do you actually need a body?
Well, I just think you need that body for some other roster spot. It's how it always affected. You know, it's not necessarily, it just comes down to how badly you want maybe an extra wide receiver or an extra D-line or an extra offensive lineman or an extra corner, safety, whatever it might be. Like, you know, the numbers crunch.
Tell me the last time they actually went out there and cut a guy that they owed $1.5 million to.
No, it's right.
When you owe that much money to a player, the player has that in his contract, so he won't get cut. Because they know, so you can buy a house, you can put your kids in school, but you don't really think about the trade scenario. But I don't think they're cutting. I don't think they're moving on from Hoyer. I'd be surprised. And if they cut him, I'd be even more surprised.
See, I'm more surprised at like his projection for the wide receivers. Now, I don't know. I have to look back at the numbers they usually keep because I know Matthew Slater's always mentioned as a wide receiver. We all know he isn't. But he has Julian Edelman, Josh Gordon, N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers, and Braxton Berrios. He's got Philip Dorsett off this team, as well as Maurice Harris off this team. You think Philip Dorsett is off this team?
No, I don't.
I'm sorry.
And say Braxton Berrios is the guy that they keep. And that's an area where I could see them keeping, Dorsett and maybe Berrios and go with an extra wide receiver just because of what they just acquired here in Josh Gordon. You know, you're going to lose one of these bodies. And again, we go into like the downside of having Josh Gordon, and one of them could be, losing out on a guy in Philip Dorsett who's somewhat reliable because you want to keep Josh Gordon only to find out he gets suspended week five. Or, Josh Gordon is in there and it stunts kind of the growth of N'Keal Harry or Jacoby Myers, who we're not seeing because Josh Gordon. So there's a couple of down.
I think a lot of it depends on, what they're, how they feel about Gordon. Say you're going to walk away from some of the, like a Dorsett. Inman already asked for his release. He's already getting a bunch of attention. A bunch of teams already want him, Detroit being one of them. So you sit there and you put your trust and your faith in Gordon and you say, we're going to give him Dorsett's spot. Because remember, when Josh Gordon came over here, he took all of Dorsett's reps. He took Hogan's reps. None of those guys were getting the ball anymore because it was going, Edelman, James White, Gronk, and those guys got pushed down farther down the ladder. They weren't getting the ball anymore. Josh Gordon was getting their reps, and then he was a starter.
See, this is the downside because last year I felt like I don't care. I don't like any of them that are on this team. So hopefully Gordon comes in here. He's already the second best wide receiver you have. This roster is a little bit different because I think it's more about intrigue. I don't know. N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers, even Braxton Berrios. Like if you keep him and cut Berrios, I don't know what Berrios could be. We never knew what the hell Julian Edelman would be. That's the downside.
Well, I do think
And I wouldn't want to lose somebody that might pop in another organization. I don't want to, stunt growth of guys because of this guy who will probably be off your team by week 7 or 8.
See, the other thing is that
for the football team.
So if Edelman, who's returning punts?
Well, that's what I mean. It could be Berrios.
Gunner,
I'm sure it'd be
Olszewski.
Edelman. No, Gunner's a practice squad guy.
Gunner's not returning punts.
Edelman.
Edelman doesn't do it all the time.
Well,
so
inside the 20.
Okay, fine.
Edelman.
But who's returning
Berrios.
Punts? Okay, so Berrios. I mean, wow, there's an asset right there because I know Philip Dorsett isn't returning punts.
No.
I know Josh Gordon
but
isn't
I want
returning
both of
punts.
Them. I don't want one of those guys cut.
You want but what? Dorsett?
And Berrios.
And Berrios? What does your boy Phil Perry have? You want to hoard him?
I want to hoard him. Mo Harris, you can have Maurice Harris. I want to hoard them, Christian. I want to take them all in because I don't know what the hell you're going to get from Josh Gordon. All right, listen, when we come back, OMF, some interesting drama around. We want to fill you in here with Antonio Brown and what's going on out there, as well as Zeke Elliott. Apparently, he is he's very upset with how Jerry Jones is talking about him. We'll do a little drama around
making
the league.
Making fun of him.
Yeah, a little drama around the league when OMF down here at Gillette Stadium continues after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
You all know that AB is not here today, right? So here's the bottom line. He's upset about the helmet issue. We have supported that. We appreciate that. Okay, but we've, at this point, we've pretty much exhausted all avenues of relief. So from our perspective, it's time for him to be all in. We're all out. Okay, so we're hoping he's back soon. We got 89 guys busting their tails. We are really excited about where this franchise is going, and we hope AB is going to be a big part of it starting week one against Denver. End of story. No question.
That was the Raiders GM Mike Mayock talking about the situation with Antonio Brown. By the way, last hour was brought to you by J.N. Phillips Auto Glass. Now, I'll say this update that apparently Antonio Brown was at practice today for the Raiders, so it seems like he's back in the fold. But this, to get to the point where your GM has to come out in preseason to say, you know, the guy that we just traded for and redid his entire deal to give him, you know,
give him everything he wanted.
Everything he wanted. It's getting to the point where he needs to be all in or all out. It's amazing, right? You're at that point. The season hasn't even started yet with this new guy. I always felt that, like, you know, crazy doesn't kick in till like year three. No, you know what I mean? Everyone's a good soldier for the first year. Second year, towards the end, you start to see a little bit. Year three, good luck. We haven't even started a game yet, and you got your GM saying, I need to know if you're all in or all out.
To me, it is should they have known this is going to be the situation? I tell you what, we were so critical of the Steelers, and more specifically Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger. This guy, Antonio Brown, has had an issue with everybody. His helmet, the Raiders, you name it, he finds an issue with it. And I don't know. Explain this to me. So you can just leave camp whenever you feel like it. You don't get what you want. You're a little upset. Things aren't going your way.
You don't like your helmet.
You know what? I'm not going to work today. You don't even fake a sickness or an illness, and there's been a death in the family. You say, you know what? I'm not coming in. Why? Well, because my helmet situation isn't fixed yet. Are you really going to do this right now? If this is happening now, and I said this last week, what in the world do you think it's going to look like in week six when they've won zero games?
Are you surprised it's gotten to this point with his helmet? I'm actually shocked. No, I'm just saying
it shouldn't be, I guess.
But
when
I'm
you
just
look
saying like that at this point, given how much attention that this thing has gotten, that the helmet company isn't like, what do you want? How do you want it? We'll make whatever the hell you want. We'll call it the AB helmet. You know, I mean, AB81.
Yeah. You say you can't see. We'll create a new face mask.
I mean,
that mimics your last one.
Yes.
So you have the same sight lines. And you know what? It'll be a top seller, and everyone will want it. It'll be the AB helmet.
Yeah, the AB81. Everybody would be looking for it. You know, this is like a guy that's like, I can't use this bat. This is and bat companies will be like, just whatever you need. What do you want me to do? I'm just surprised. I think that that hasn't just some companies and said, yeah, okay, we'll make you your own damn helmet.
I can't believe that, you know, so the league says go ahead and find a helmet less than 10 years, okay, and we'll let you use it. Well, they find one. It doesn't pass the inspection. So he's still irritated. He's still pouting over this freaking helmet. So is it really just about the helmet? So the helmet is the biggest issue. To me, it's just an excuse. Like, I don't know if he's actually really like this, or is this one just big giant act because he loves the drama that surrounds these issues. Like, this helmet saga is, like, overtaking the entire team.
Yeah, I feel like this is like just like a heat check for him. You know, when you see, like, a guy, you know, in the NBA taking shots, like a heat check. Like, this guy, how much power he showed that he has in this league. And everybody kept saying, oh, my God, with what Antonio Brown, what he forced in this league with the Steelers and what he forced with Oakland to be able to get an entirely new deal after just restructuring his old deal. Like the power move. And it's like, it's almost taking a page out of the NBA, right? Player control. And he just said, well, let's just see how much power I have. I'm going to a little heat check right now. You know what? I don't like my helmet. I ain't playing until I get my helmet. I want to see how much power I have.
This is a boss move right now. So he's just doing this.
Yeah. So, right? You know what I mean? I mean, that's how else I look at it. It's just, I have so much power. I just did something in the NFL that not many players do. Now I'm going to do something else.
So in typical,
I'm going to hold out until I get my helmet.
In typical Antonio Brown fashion, it's not just him that is making news. It's his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. Drew Rosenhaus, I guess, you know, decided that this was the morning that he was going to show up on Miami TV and have
coincidence.
A right, and then have an interview about Antonio Brown. And what he says at the end really made my jaw hit the floor.
We've worked very closely with the Raiders, and we will continue to work very closely with the Raiders. I'm not sure that we agree that we've exhausted all the options, as Mike Mayock said, but there's no doubt it's still an ongoing process. We are trying to work with the team and the league and the union to come up with a solution. We haven't figured it out yet. To say that AB is upset about the decision to not let him wear his helmet is accurate, but we're still processing it and figuring it out. I wouldn't make too much about him not being there today as much as we're still trying to come up with a solution that works.
Okay, hold on. So, hey, listen,
don't make too big of a deal.
Hey, listen, I know he didn't show up. This is the second time he has just decided he's not going to show up to work. He is under contract. So he said, hey, you know what? Don't look at this whole thing.
Focusing on the wrong thing.
Yeah, you know what? We got to think about the process. And we're working with the Raiders. And you know what? He wants his helmet. I like to give my guy. Stop enabling him.
It's time for him to be all in or all out.
Okay, does it look like he's all in? Does it, based on the short amount of information that you have as him, as a Raider? Now, he went out and burnt his feet going in one of those cryo chambers trying to recover,
stupid
whatever.
Mistake.
Call it bad luck. It's a real injury, though. Not his fault, though. That's Gruden already stood up for him, said it's not your fault.
Did anybody see my friend Antonio Brown? Okay.
So then it's the helmet issue, which he's known about for a long time. Brady's known about it. Aaron Rodgers has known about it. Those guys are high-profile athletes, more than Antonio Brown is. So they know, and they got to switch. So he already missed one practice because he was acting out. Gets what he wants, comes back to work, doesn't like it, goes, acts out again, and says, you know what, I'm not going to practice. I'm not even going to practice. I wish I had it that easy. I wish I could just tell my boss, you know what, I'm not coming into work today. Why? Because I don't like the way my Cheerios tasted this morning.
Yeah.
I feel like the milk was old. I feel like it was stale. And you know what? It's your fault. I didn't tell you to go eat Cheerios. It is your fault, though. It doesn't matter. You got to fix it. I mean, that is what
he's doing.
Get my helmet.
I'm not showing.
Yeah, so Mike Mayock calls him out and says, listen, this is it. You're either in or you're out. All right, so what if he says, I'm out? What does Mike Mayock go? What does he do?
Okay.
What is he going to do? You traded for him.
I know.
You wasted draft picks. You paid him.
And financially, you screwed.
What are you going to do? He is holding you hostage. This is exactly the position that he likes to be in. He's in charge. You are his piss boy.
Well, it's amazing when he says, you
knock
know,
on wood if you're with me.
Let's not focus.
Knock on wood.
Let's not focus that he's not in camp. You know, and I go back
don't
to.
Don't look at the fact that he's not showing up.
Like, at what point, because we said when, you know, Gruden backed up Antonio Brown, we said, well, he has to. It's his new wide receiver, right? He's got to back him publicly. But think about what how upset they have to be over this whole thing internally for Mayock to go out there publicly and say something like that about this guy. They're fed up. But like you said, what are they going to do? So they come out publicly.
Well, how credible is it? I mean, that's a weak threat. That is a weak threat. So,
well, because
so
you're telling me, sit back and say, "What do you mean, all in, all out?" So, what if I'm out? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm out today. No, today I'm out.
You know how much money you just gave me,
and you traded for me. You're not getting those picks back.
No,
they're not giving them back to you. So, what is he going to do? So, to me, what I'm always interested to know is, and I wish it would happen, is what if Antonio Brown was a Patriot? And both Brady and Brown have this helmet issue. Brady switches his helmet. Antonio Brown is basically doing the same thing in New England that he's doing in Oakland. What does Bill do? Does he appease him? Does he give him what he wants? So he misses practice the first time because he's upset. What happens when he does it the second time? I mean, he's no. We're not playing his favorites here. I don't care what we did for you. And they assume the Patriots traded for him. They gave up draft picks. They paid him a bunch of money. Now, what do you think the Patriots do?
Well, my thing would just be, listen, I don't care what you do. Get your ass in the field.
No, what
go
do you
find
do?
A helmet.
Do they cut him?
You can't cut him.
Do they fine him? Because you do have a contract. So they treat him like every – the problem with the Raiders is they're treating him like he's some college athlete. Like he plays for Nebraska.
Recruit.
Yeah, the number one recruit, and we're going to let you do whatever you want. We're not going to kick you out of school. What the Patriots, I think, would do is they would look at his contract – and they would fine him. They would take money out of his pocket. They would do something where he wouldn't just be able just to act out and not serve any punishment because he's affecting the greater good. So we're gonna treat you like a big boy. This is the contract. You're getting fined. And it's contact detrimental, which it is, and we're just going to attach $60,000 to it.
All right, so that's the drama out in L.A. What about the drama down in Dallas? I don't know if you heard this or not, but apparently the Cowboys after the Rams game Saturday night. Do we have that sound of Jerry Jones postgame?
Is Pollard your best negotiator with Zeke?
Who?
Pollard.
Yeah. Zeke who?
He's got your camera.
We're having some fun. Not at your expense.
So that was the post-game.
Captive audience.
So apparently, Ezekiel's agent, Rocky, I don't know, Arsenal, like apparently told Chris Mortensen, ESPN, what he and his client, Ezekiel Elliott, thought of those comments.
Zeke who?
Yeah, quote, "I didn't think it was very funny, and neither did Zeke. We actually thought it was disrespectful." So they didn't exactly think those comments were very funny.
No, he didn't like it.
No, they didn't like it at all, and the fun that they were having at his expense.
So the problem is, I don't know who the other back is, but they're not really missing him right now at the moment. It's preseason. Now everybody's shining. Everybody looks good. So they're not missing him like they used to. But they will. When the regular season comes around, they will miss him. Pass catching, running ability, whether they'll sign him, who the hell knows. But if my question is he still in Cabo? So Ezekiel Elliott was training in Cabo. That's the way. If you're going to hold out, do it in Cabo.
Well, like you said, the Cowboys, right now they're not missing him. We got to take a break here. When we come back, I want to know about Chris Sale and what's going on down in Florida because we know that they're going to miss him. The only question is how long are they going to miss Chris Sale as he goes and sees Dr. James Andrews down in Florida? We'll talk Red Sox when we come back right after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
So Chris said he didn't feel anything Tuesday when he pitched. Wednesday, he felt some stiffness, a little more than normal. Didn't say anything to anyone. Thursday, the same thing. Felt a little more stiffness. Didn't go away by Friday. So he came in and told the training staff yesterday. I don't know the exact time he told them, but I didn't find out till after the game. He didn't say anything to anybody, at least with our club, until yesterday.
Oh, that was Dave Dombrowski. And that was Saturday. The Red Sox sent this tweet out about 5:30. The Red Sox have placed left-handed pitcher Chris Sale in a 10-day DL with left elbow inflammation, retroactive to August 14th. Doesn't matter. And then they brought up Brazier. That was a kick in the balls. I mean, when you saw that tweet,
Brazier is back.
Yeah, no, not Brazier, obviously. Jeez. But I mean, Chris Sale, the last couple outings, had thrown the ball real well. As a matter of fact, that timeline that Dombrowski was just talking about, if you remember, on Friday, we were down at Fenway. We talked to Alex about
it. That's right. Forgot all about that, yeah.
He was actually later in the day, we noticed he was listed in the bullpen. And we just said, wow, all hands on deck. You know, here's a guy that might be available. Is this what they're going to do?
We're chasing wins.
Now you hear this guy going down to see
securing. Yeah. Securing.
Dr. Andrews today down in Florida, and that's never good. I know David Price went down there. We found out he had a magic elbow.
Unique
elbow, whatever you want to call it. When it comes to Chris Sale,
Dr. Andrews said I had a special elbow.
Oh, special. Sorry, special. Unique's just as good.
This is just an absolute train wreck. And not just for 2019. You're worried about, is that it? Do we see this guy in 2021, the first year of this extension? Is he going to be, you know, recovering from Tommy John surgery?
Yeah. Yeah, see, well, here's what stood out to me. So just imagine, so the Red Sox are in the position they are now. What are they, 6.5 back?
Yeah, still. 5 straight.
They won 5 straight. They scored a lot of runs in the last 3 days against the Orioles. They have the best offense in Major League Baseball. The best offense. Imagine if they were middle of the pack. Imagine if they were, you know, had the 12th best offense and scored the 12th most runs.
Oh, they'd be 15 games under.
It'd be so despicable. The fact that they can score runs, and so Baltimore can go out there and score 6 runs on them, and they're down 6-0, but they can come back and win. Why? Because Devers is on fire. Benintendi is on fire. Bogarts continues to do what he's doing. I mean, it's amazing. It could be so much worse. Because do you think that this offense is playing above their expectations or where they should be at as far as their ability to score runs?
I would say as a group right now, maybe a little bit above.
I would say they're above too. So it's they're being protected, which for more criticism, by the fact that they're still mathematically still in it. So it's bad. But imagine if Devers wasn't on fire. He wasn't eating, 5-something in the last, I don't know, 8 games or something like that.
Well,
it's crazy.
No, I'm with you. It was.
It's worse than it really is my point.
Well, I'll tell you what the biggest problem I have with this is that I think the issue is his shoulder. I think that's the problem with Chris Sale. That's what he had issues last year was his shoulder. Now, all of a sudden, it's the elbow. So now it's like, okay, we're going to replace the elbow. You know, we're going to fix the elbow. What about the shoulder? You know, when he comes back from Tommy John, is it, you know, what do you have? If it's Tommy John, okay, if not, it's concerns. And then, you know, they've won 5 straight now. They picked up a couple of games in that stretch. I think Tampa went 3-2. Oakland went 4-2. So you picked up 2 on Tampa, 1.5 on Oakland. I don't know. It's still background music. And it's like, all right, you know, if you don't lose again for another week, all right, I don't know. Maybe we can have a discussion. But when you look at this team now, the issue used to be they can't win a game when David Price and Chris Sale pitch. Now they're both out. And you're left with basically 2/5 of a rotation. And one of them's the worst pitcher in baseball, and that's Rick Porcello. I know he threw okay the other day, but you've got Erod and Porcello, the only two guys in your rotation. Evaldi goes out the other night. He goes 2 innings, gets smacked around, gives up 5 earned runs, walks 3 hits, no location whatsoever.
You know how they're protected? They scored 26 runs in 3 games.
Well,
that's how they protect themselves. So you're missing your 2 best stars. So what? You haven't had Price since when? Chris Sale just started pitching better. Otherwise, it's been a mix of this guy and that guy. And Porcello's been. So what's the difference? What difference does it make?
No, but the thing was that going into that, say, Saturday, when you heard this news Saturday night, it was Porcello threw the ball in Baltimore. And you're like, okay, how can they make it interesting? Forget about make the playoffs. Can you make it interesting? Porcello, he's got to get right. Sale continues to throw and show you that he can pitch in August and September. You've got a bunch of days off here, so you don't need, you know, 5 guys. And then hopefully within, you know, a week or so, Price gets back into this rotation. You say, all right, well, let's see where this can go. Now, I mean, good night. You're not, forget about it. Yeah. Now you start worrying about next year. You start worrying about the future. That, you know, can Chris Sale learn to pitch at 92? How about this? Can Chris Sale, what's he going to be like when he comes back from Tommy John?
So that is why they should just shut him down now. Let's stop.
Well, he's already
done. Well, I mean, he's on, what, a 10-day?
Yeah.
But, is he not?
Yeah. But that's
okay,
just
so
a
we'll
formality.
See Andrews. We'll get it. So you think he's Dunsky? Oh, wait, so you say it. You say it. You say, I want to hear you say it.
No, because I'm not going to go on that Charo Lim.
Well, there's no limits. A branch.
We could come
strong.
Back mid-September if nothing's wrong. He could take 2 or 3 weeks off here and you know, see what you're at, whatever. Odds are
Dunsky?
He's done for the year. Yes.
Dunsky?
There's a better chance that he is done for the season, and that shouldn't be your biggest concern.
Hey, guys, Dunsky for the season.
The concern is that next year's rotation, as you see it, is Erod and David Price. That's your rotation next year. I don't know. You count on Evaldi? I don't count on Evaldi. You have Price and you have Erod next season.
So my thing is, so let's stop playing make-believe. Let's stop giving it the whole college try and act like, you know, there's a chance that you're going to make the playoffs. Scrap him. Let him be done. Maybe he doesn't need Tommy John. Maybe he just needs 2 months of rest and relaxation. Maybe it's the same thing with Price. Who knows? But are you willing to, on the 5% chance that you make the playoffs, wait for him to get healthy? And let's just say it's he's got a unique elbow and shoulder, and he comes back and he pitches great, but you don't make the playoffs. So now there's, you know, 2 more months of wear and tear that's going to come back to bite you next season when maybe you don't have to, when you're not trying to come back from 6 games back. I don't know. I just feel like it's the season's been wasted. You've had all these great runs. You've had all these great offensive performances. Devers with MVP type year. If you take out a couple
historic
weeks,
historic year it is a.
If you take out
ridiculous.
A couple, if you take out a
he
couple,
have a home run in April.
Yeah. So if you take out you know, a month in April and a week
and
here,
he had about 245 in April, I think.
It's ridiculous what he's doing. The amount of doubles and home runs and you name it. The guy's insane right now.
By the way, this hour is brought to you by Right Window. Talking about the Celtics right now and the latest news on Chris Sale going to see
Red
Dr.
Sox.
Andrews
Red
today. What did I say? Red
you
Sox?
You said Celtics.
Oh, I don't know why I said
Red
Sox
take 3 out of 4.
Thanks, Glenn. He's not in today. It's just the MFers. And I do wonder, does this have any effect on, say, Dave Dombrowski?
As far as job security?
Doesn't look good. I mean, you know, it comes up and people talking about, you know, is he the guy moving forward?
We've been fine.
You know, is he the guy that you want kind of to rebuild this organization? I will say this, because we've sort of left this part out, that 1997 was he the GM of the Marlins. They won. They had to break up that whole team. He was part of that breakup. And through trades, through draft picks, he kind of orchestrated the building blocks that won the championship in 03. So he was part of a kind of like a rebuild type of thing. Now, it hasn't really been his MO recently. But I wonder how much they look at it and say, Jesus, you know, in hindsight, what'd you do here with Chris Sale? And oh, by the way, Evaldi. Like, what did we do with these guys? We extended these guys. Bogart's outstanding, but that was probably because he came to you, right?
That's crazy.
Yeah, that one was easy.
That was
he
easy.
Wanted
he came
to be
to
here.
You,
yeah.
And it was like, that's a no-brainer. $20 million for this guy? So that was easy. But Evaldi, I didn't like from the beginning. Sale, you know, even from the beginning, I would say, you know what? You could have waited. Saw what the market is at the end of the year, but it's Chris Sale, and you like having that personality. So they rolled the dice, and the deferred money, the hit is only $25 million a year. It's a lot of deferred money, so the salary tax, okay, I can stomach it. Now you look back in hindsight, and I can because I'm not the GM of this team. What the hell were you thinking?
Again,
you right? I mean, at the end of the year, if Chris Sale was effective for 6 months and pitched at a very high level, at 30 years old, in the offseason, what would the market have been for Chris Sale? How much more would it have been than $30 million a year for 5 years? How much more? Like, would it have been 35? I mean, I don't know. So what did you save yourself? If he was great for 6 months, if he was great, how much money did you really save on the market? Because $30 million is... is probably right about there, maybe give or take $3 or $4 million a year. So you almost gave him, almost, and I know he deferred some money, almost gave him a free agent contract if he was really good this year before he even proved it.
Yeah, see, think about it. If he
that
was
look good,
I mean, when you think about him being done for the year, that would he would have been a free agent, And what would his number be if he was a free agent?
Well,
he's coming off another year, not finishing the year. Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, they did him a solid. And I don't know. Maybe I'm reading into this.
I have no idea. But someone's going to give him 25, 20, 25
million.
No,
they will not
give
him 25. No, I don't care how many years.
Not if he doesn't finish the season. He finished the year in the DL again. No chance in hell.
Yeah, so what did I hear about? He needed like a moment to like gather himself. He wanted to just kind of.
He wasn't there. After the news, he didn't talk to the media, I believe, on Saturday. And it was just more of a. You know, he didn't want to address the media until he had answers.
And it's been a blast.
Until he met with Dr. Andrews. They looked at the MRI. You know, obviously, if he went up there and met with the media Monday after the announcement, it would have been just all disappointment. And they would have asked him about results. So they would have asked him about his elbow, and he just would have said, I don't know. You know, I don't know. So rather than just a bunch of I don't knows, let me find out what's going on with my elbow before I talk to the media.
So it wasn't like he needed a moment to just gather himself because he was upset. He was like mentally distraught that he had let everybody down.
Well, it might have been some of that.
That's what it sounded like.
But it also was probably, that he wanted all the information.
So he's
going to
measure three times and cut once.
Right. So the reality is you have two-fifths of a rotation right now. I don't know where the help comes from. I know Evaldi technically is back in the rotation, but he is what he is. He's an opener. They wanted to get 60 pitches from him the other day. He only lasted 43 because he gave it up. Does Cashner go back into the rotation? Do they call up a kid, Tanner Houck, who's had a couple good performances in AAA? I think so. Probably call up another kid, and you see what he can do. But it's a shame, you know, because now it's not just about this year. It's about next year as well. And that's where the big question marks come in.
They're not in a good spot.
No, that's safe to say.
Question for you, Lou. What is the best case scenario with this Chris Sale elbow injury? Is there a best case scenario?
No, the best case is that there's just inflammation, overuse, and they shut him down. Maybe they shut him down for the end of the year, or they put a plan together to try to get him back for the last 2 weeks of September if needed, if they're in it. And they maybe use him sparingly out of the bullpen, and you hope Evaldi can take it over, and they sparingly come out of the bullpen and give you a couple innings. So this was Chris Cotello saying that Sale's going to Pensacola tomorrow, and this was yesterday, meet with James Andrews. Cora said that Sale, quote, isn't hiding from the media. He just, quote, wants all the facts before addressing the situation publicly. And that's, like I was saying.
Never really a good thing. I guess Price came back from seeing Dr. David Andrews, with a unique elbow, a special elbow. So it's not all doom and gloom.
That was very special.
He could go there, and maybe it's just as simple as like tendonitis. He's got some sort of, maybe it's a bursar sac that's like inflamed, and he's got inflammation, you know? Because he shows up to work. He doesn't mention anything about being sore. Comes back to work again the next day and finally tells the trainer, and they go get an MRI. Like, there is inflammation in there.
Well, it's ugly. I mean, there's no, but I will say this about the last five, and I know it was Baltimore, and we'll see where this goes with Philadelphia and so on when they go on that West Coast trip. The difference was, what was it, 2012, 2014, 2015, they finished dead last. They bottomed out. Like, even if you're a Red Sox fan, you're like, I don't even know why the hell. If you're a baseball fan, why the hell am I even watching? I like the way they're playing now. As bad as it is, I don't think they have a chance in hell of making the postseason, but I'm glad they're not bottoming out. Now, physically, they're losing bodies, but they're not bottoming out. Guys like Devers are still doing their thing. You know, I want to see Erod to continue to do his thing. All these guys. I just want them to play better baseball because I remember those years they're in last place. And it was like, I'm not even recognizing this sport. I don't want anything to do with them. So if you're a baseball fan and you want to watch for some reason, at least they're making it interesting.
Yeah, no, I always been
like
a Red Sox fan, you know.
And I like that. But that's about all I can give them right now. So we'll wait. We'll hear. We're looking for more on Chris Sale. I don't know if we're getting any updates here tonight or not.
It runs in my blood.
But you guys want to give us a call on what your thoughts on Chris Sale going on the IL, please do, 617-779-7937. We talked to Bill Belichick earlier in the day. You'll hear some of his thoughts about one Josh Gordon joining this team, being reinstated by the NFL. We talk a little Patriots and Josh Gordon coming back, what it means for this Patriots team when OMF continues right after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.